Love to be together with you like this. By the way, men, I just want to encourage you, along with Kathy's words, to make it up to that retreat with us. It's always such a formable time for us. Our hearts, our lives are really formed when we're together on that retreat. I was thinking, though, we started a couple of weeks ago with bacon in the lobby. Some of you signed up when we had bacon. Now we're doing donuts. Next week we're going to have to do butter or something. We're going to all have to be eating salads when we're on the men's retreat together. But so stop by and register for that. Well, we have been in a series that we called Friending. It's all about friendship. We've been saying this little statement, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And it's based on Solomon's words in Proverbs. They're in your bulletin again this week if you want to look at them. Solomon wrote, walk with the wise and become what? For a companion of fools suffers harm. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's pretty simple. But it's easier than ever in the world that we live in today. Easier than ever to maintain an appearance of friendship but lack the benefits of friendship, so that it's possible to collect hundreds, even thousands of friends on social media and to simultaneously live a lonely life. We think that if we can appear rich, that we'll be fulfilled. We think that if we can appear to have a multitude of friends, that will be relationally fulfilled. But the appearance of being rich in friendship only serves to hide the poverty of true friendship. And so I want us to think about what does the Bible have to say to us about real friendship? Because it's true friendship, it's real friendship that we long for. And the world that we live in today is in many ways set against true friendship. I think that's what this series has caused me to reflect on more than anything, in fact. As I think about my own friendships, I have asked myself the question after the last 2 weeks with Tom preaching about friendship. I've asked myself this question, am I satisfied with the kind of friendships that I have? I want my friendships to be real. It's like the difference between cheap chocolate and really good chocolate. If you've never had really good chocolate, you think Hershey's is the best there is. Then you taste really good, rich chocolate, and forever, a Hershey's Kiss is, it's okay. You taste some really good coffee, and suddenly, you can pass up Maxwell House. I grew up on the Gulf Coast near Louisiana where we ate barbecued crab fresh out of the Gulf of Mexico. I can remember as a kid catching crab and cooking it fresh like that. Nothing like real fresh crab. It does not even come anywhere close to comparing to that imitation stuff you buy in the grocery store or the pokey place. Imitation crab is a joke compared to the real thing. In life, the real thing matters. Real friendship matters. And it's true friendship that counts. And we live in a world that is set up kind of against the real thing. It's set up for the imitation. Let me explain what I mean by this. In Western culture, we have this preferred bend towards autonomy and independence, so that we live with a kind of attitude that says, I don't want to need you. I don't want to need your help. I don't want to need your kindness. I don't want to need anything from you. I don't want to need you. And we grow up with that kind of an attitude so that we can forget, or we can even become just ignorant of what the Bible says about our true dependence on God and one another. It's almost scandalous to say, I need you, I need your help. Like Joe Cocker, I need a little help from my friends, right? That can sound lazy to us. The last thing we want is to be needy. And yet, when we're alone, facing life on our own, it doesn't take long to realize, I need you. I need your friendship. You need God, and you need a church family. Jesus died for you and loves you and told us that we've got to love one another for this thing to work out the way he created it to, the way he prepared it to. Lift one another up, serve one another, encourage one another. I read somewhere that to be unwilling to recognize your need for others is to be distinctly un-Christian. Even Jesus, if there was any human being who could ever live a purely autonomous life, it was Jesus. After all, he is fully God. But when he came to the night before his crucifixion and was praying his way through that night, what did he say to his friends? Stay with me. Pray with me. Stay awake with me. If some of us were in that same situation, we'd be like, I got this, don't worry about me, go on home. I don't need you to stay here with me. We can be so stupidly stubborn in our poverty of friendship. And when we are, loneliness is where we drift. Loneliness is where we end up if we do not fight by building real biblical friendship. We talk about building friendship. We never talk about building loneliness. It doesn't need to be built. It just happens. But real friendship needs to be built. Show me the friendships that you're building, and I'll show you the future that you are building. Are you drifting into loneliness today? Or are you building real biblical friendships? Last week, Tom talked about what's missing in your life. And he said it might not be something that's missing in your life. It might be someone who is missing. And this week, I want you to know that it might not only be someone, but it might also be some ones who are missing. So you might be one community away from changing the course of your life. It takes one community, one group to stop the drift of loneliness in your life and to set you on a course to build real biblical friendships. One group of committed believers doing a Jesus-centered life together through the highs and the lows, who lift you up, who encourage one another, who love one another and call one another out and pray for one another. You might be one community like that away from changing the course of your life, your marriage, your family, your career, your future. And I want you to know what the Bible says about this. Paul writes to a community of believers in a city called Ephesus. And now within this city, There were believers gathered around the gospel and living a Jesus-centered life in their homes together. And these believers were not part of Jesus' original bunch of Jewish followers in Jerusalem. They were Gentiles. And this is what Paul said to them. He said, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone that holds it all together is Jesus Christ Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." I love that phrase, carefully joined together. Who are you being carefully joined together with in life? I love this image of building a house where God dwells and is experienced and is known, and that it isn't a building with bricks and wood, but it is relationships he's talking about. It's people's lives coming together that build this place where God dwells. If you are drifting in loneliness, relationally impoverished, God invites you to be carefully joined together in the family, in the church family, in a community of believers. Some of you are drifting in loneliness, and you are one community away from changing the course of your life by building some real biblical friendships. And so let me give you three ways tonight God's Word teaches us to build this kind of community. Three qualities God's Word says is true of a real circle of friends. And the first quality is this: God's Word says that a real circle of friends has what we're going to call tonight refrigerator rights. A real circle of friends, as the Bible talks about it, gives away to one another refrigerator rights. Now, what is this? I love this. If you have real friendships, you get this. If you don't, you'll think it's weird, but you'll probably wish you had it. A circle of friends with refrigerator rights is a community of people who get beyond your social media, get beyond your front door, get beyond your living room, into your kitchen, and have the right to open your refrigerator and get a drink or something to eat out of it. How many friends have refrigerator rights in your life? Now it's like a test of the depth of friendship. If I came over to your house and went into your kitchen and took something out of your refrigerator, you'd be thinking, uh-oh, our pastor's just lost his mind. Unless we were in one another's lives and space enough that it became commonplace that we eat and drink together. And so I want to show you community, what community of real friends looks like in the book of Acts. This community is remarkable community of people who follow Jesus. And you're going to see their refrigerator rights, how far they were willing to go with giving away what they had for their friends. Look at this in Acts chapter 2. And just imagine being a part of this group of people. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's to the words of Scripture, to the truths of the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. Loneliness isn't even a possibility in that community. Can you imagine? This kind of community will change the course of your life, but you don't drift there. We have an extra battle. I was thinking about this. Now, you have to understand, I'm not a native Californian. I came into this crazy place about 16 years ago. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of outsider observation, okay? I think that we have an extra battle to fight in Southern California to make this kind of real biblical friendship happen. Because in LA, we live in what I think of as a culture of suspicion. We don't trust each other. We keep our distance. We leave one another alone. I can't tell you how many times I've been out in my neighborhood walking with the dog or walking with Lindsay, and I will pass somebody and I'll wave or say hello, and they don't even make eye contact with me. You ever been that? What's wrong with us? We have an extra fight on our hands to fight against that suspicion, and we have to fight for biblical, transformational, real friendships. And we don't build it just on our own. We build it with the love of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit alive in us and manifested among us. We build it with devotion to Jesus and to God's word. We build it by giving to one another with an attitude that says, you're family. You won't go without you. You're covered. You build this kind of community with sacrifice. We have to share meals and we have to celebrate the goodness of God in one another's lives. We have to win together and we have to lose together to have this kind of community. If you're determined to build this kind of real circle of friends, then you have to give away some refrigerator rights to some people. But it's about more than food. It's an outward expression of something deeper going on in the friendship. If I can come into your kitchen and take your food, then we've let one another into our space, but also into our lives. It's an openness to share and to give my stuff away and let you know what's really going on inside. I'm telling you, you don't drift into that. You have to build that kind of community. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's when Lindsay and I first learned this lesson. We were married only a few years when we started coming to CA. We formed a life group of young couples. And these were friends who we genuinely loved to be with. And so every Sunday at 3:00, we would have these couples over to our house and we would pray for one another and we would hang out and we would look into God's word together and we would just care about each other. So we built this life group by meeting together in our little apartment every Sunday afternoon. And well, this one Sunday, though, Lindsay and I, we were married for only a few years at this point, and we got into a major blow up, knock down, drag out fight. Just, we were not happily married on this particular Sunday morning. And thank God these are few and far between, but this was one that lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted. I was a young, distracted seminary student with my head in the clouds while Lindsay was in her second trimester with our first child. Anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? And all of this came to a head, and Lindsay's crying, and I'm frustrated, and guess what? Knock on the door. Life group's here. Yay! We honestly thought about just being silent and letting them think something came up and life group's not happening, but that's not what we were committed to doing. And I remember going over to the door and opening the door. There were two couples there, four people standing in our door. And I just said, "You're walking into a real tense situation." And I will never forget those people coming into our apartment. One of them went straight to the sink, started washing dishes. Another one said, "We're going to go get some food." They came back. And within an hour, we sat down and shared a meal with those people. And they prayed with us, and they got us out of that little place we were in. To this day, that is one of the greatest memories of God's grace I have in my life. I'm so glad that we let them in that day, and I am so, so glad they came in. That day. We needed friends that day. We needed the community that we had built that day. You don't just drift into a circle of friends with refrigerator rights. You have to build it. The second quality of this kind of friendship, God's word says, a real circle of friends knows one another's flaws. Uh-oh. I don't know about you, but every friend I have ever had flaws. And so do I. Real friends know your flaws. Paul writes to another community of believers similar to the one in Ephesus. This group is in Rome, and he writes a letter to them, and this is what he says to them. "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." You need a circle of friends that accepts you as you are and encourages you to give God glory with your life. We need circles of friends where love rules the day, so that I can say things to you and you can say things to me that not just anyone can say. A kind of acceptance that opens the doors to difficult conversations and confessions and apologies and forgiveness. It's a kind of acceptance that allows for our flaws to be uncovered and known. It's a kind of acceptance that paves the way for maturity and transformation to happen. Seeing each other at our best and at our worst and sticking it out for a better day. That's what biblical friendship looks like. I have a friend who recently was forced to come to terms with some mistakes that he made, some poor choices in his life. And he could have deflected his fault and defended himself. Others would have done that. But I have been so impressed. I have even really been taught by this man in his willingness to own his mistakes, to call them what they are, and his willingness to simply express pure remorse. It's what the Bible calls repentance, a willingness to turn from a wrong way of living. And he will tell you that it has been possible for him to choose to do that because of real friendship that he has found in this church family. And he is not the same man because of it. And here's a truth that I am watching play out in his life. Pure remorse met with real friendship will change your life. That kind of friendship happens in the light of Jesus with the example and the power of His love and grace. I'm so thankful for the Jesus-centered friendships that I've built with God's help. I need friendships like some of the friendships that I have formed in this church family, because I'm going to mess up. I'm going to do stupid. And I need a community of friends who will say, "Matt, stop it, and we love you." I'm thankful for people in this church who have made me better and kept me going. I thank God for the times that we have fought against discouragement in one another and said to one another, "I believe in you. I believe in God's call in your life." That's the only kind of community that I'm going to thrive in. Because we all have flaws. And we all need a community that is bathed in the light of Jesus, filled with His grace, who accept us as friends and encourage us to give God glory with our lives. Don't you want that? I do. And lastly, God's Word, the last quality that we'll talk about tonight. God's Word says that a circle of friends gets built by fighting lions together. Let me explain to you what I mean. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The Bible says we have a spiritual enemy that is called Satan. That means our accuser. He wants to devour you, to pick you off, to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything that matters to God. And a biblical community of friends stand together against the enemy in one another's lives. We stand together and we fight lions together. We stick together and we oppose anything that opposes what God loves. I found a video on YouTube to illustrate this that you have got to see. So would you just roll that video and get this image in your head? That's a water buffalo with a calf, and she is stuck alone with those lions around her. She cannot defend her calf against these three lions, and there it goes. Lion takes that calf. Mama goes after it. What's she going to do? She's helpless. She can't change this. Oh, but wait a minute. A circle of friends just showed up. That calf's okay in the dust. Those lions are chasing them away. Listen, we need some water buffaloes in our lives. If water buffaloes can do it, don't you think the Church of the Living God can do it? Don't you think a circle of friends locked together in a common faith in Jesus can do it? I think so. You can be a friend who does that for someone. You can build a circle of friends who stand together and fight and be in it with one another and not roll over when the enemy comes. We stand and we fight because following Jesus is not a playground activity. It is a lifestyle in a circle of friends who are filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't play church on a playground. We stand together on a battleground and fight for one another and pray for one another and encourage one another through the battle. You don't want to face life alone with an enemy prowling around. You want the strength of Jesus believing friends around you who will fight with you. You want friends who are going to fight with you when you hear bad news from the doctor, when you have a kid that is wandering off, when you have a marriage that's coming off the hinges, when money's become a monster in your life, when you're trying to figure out meaning in the second half of your life, when anxiety and depression and discouragement have you in a headlock. You want some lion fighters standing with you, chasing Satan off in your life. and calling on the name that is above every name, believing and praying in the name of Jesus with you. Amen. That's the kind of church that we've got to build together. Some of you are vulnerable right now, and you are one community away from changing the course of your life. A real biblical circle of friends will change your life. And Jesus said it'll change the world. If you build these kinds of friendships, the non-believing world will take notice of that. And people will say, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they believe, but I want what they have. I want to be carefully joined together like that. I want to be accepted like that. I want to have some lion fighters around me like that. Jesus said the world's going to know that we're his disciples because what? We love one another. That's what we get to build together. That's what you get to build in your life. Don't drift into loneliness. Make the effort to build a circle of friends that can change your life and change the world. Guys, that's why we do the men's retreat. Some of you men, there's 25 spots or whatever are left. There's somebody in this room tonight who's not running with some water buffaloes. And you need to get up to that retreat because I guarantee you there's some water buffaloes there. You'll hear them snoring in their cabins. But you need some men. You need some brothers around you. Do not pass up this opportunity to make some effort to build these kinds of friendships in your life. Don't you want to be that kind of church? I know you do. In fact, I'll tell you how I know you do. I watch you do this. I watch you do it. I'll never forget somebody at Occidental College telling me one time that Christian Assembly, oh yeah, that's the affectionate church they call us. You go over there and somebody's going to try to hug you, shake your hand. I love that. God, would you carefully join us together? Let's pray. Jacob, I didn't call you up. Come on up when you're ready because we're gonna lift our voices and praise God and experience the strength of singing together before we get out of here. But I also want to pray for you. And I want to pray for those of you who would just say, I need it. I need this. I need a circle of friends. And I want to pray that God will show you the steps you need to take and give you the faith to take those steps. And I want to pray for those of you who have it, but you know that there are others around you that don't. You just got to reach your arms a little wider to say, come, come on, come on and find it with us. Let's pray. Lord, we are here because of who you are. It is your truth that we are leaning into. It is your truth that we are believing. And your word says that you delight in your children being unified together, coming together. And that it is even by the work of your Spirit that you help us to do it. You carefully join us together. And God, we just say tonight, we give ourselves to that. Help us to be those kinds of people. God, I pray for those here tonight who are drifting in loneliness. No shame in it. Just that we would say, I need a lifesaver. I need a raft. I need somebody to dive in. And God, I pray that you rescue that person. That you rescue the people drifting in loneliness. You give them faith to turn around and start taking steps toward community. You give them faith to show up once again to a life group, or maybe for the first time. You give them faith to show up to the men's retreat. You give them faith to keep showing up here. You give them faith to walk down front and say to somebody on our prayer team, I don't know how to pray. I need you to pray for me. Give us faith to not drift in loneliness, but to build friendship with one another with your help. God, for those of us who have it, who have that circle of friends, oh, thank you for the many, many blessings that we have received through friendship. Thank you for the truth that is spoken in friendship. And God, I pray that you help us to look up and look out and reach to some others to say, come and find what we have found. Make us that kind of people. Because Jesus, you were that kind of Savior. You are that kind of Savior tonight. You reach out to those who don't know you even tonight and say, come and know me. Come and believe in me. Come and walk in new life with me. And if anybody's here tonight and you'd say, yeah, I need that community, but I also need Jesus. And tonight, you can just say, Lord, I give myself to you. I trust and I believe and I receive all that you have for me. Forgive me for my sins and make me new again. We trust you, Lord, and we pray these things together in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing before we get out of here and just receive the strength and encouragement of voices around you. Jacob, would you lead us?